We're in the third chapter on the 13th verse, and just want you to understand, as we go through Malachi was talking to the priests, the Israelite priests, but there's so many good lessons in this book that we've really enjoyed. So next slide is Mr. Wiggins back there, Mr. Wiggins, Bob Wiggins. Bob does a lot of things for us. He participates in the men's group. He obviously does the sound back there for our worship band. And so, Bob, we appreciate what you do. We appreciate it. Thanks. All right, let's go to our time of silent prayer. Pray for your open heart this morning. As we do each week, we're going to do that silently, and then I'll be back to ask for prayer requests. Let's pray. Father, just be with us today as we look at your word. Lord, may we be honoring to you and honor your word. And Lord, give us the strength that we need to serve you. While your heads are bowed, if you have any prayer requests, just raise your hand. Lord, you see these hands. I just ask that you do what's right in each of our lives, that you're our dad, and we are not in a good place to take care of problems ourselves in so many ways. And so we just ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to go right to our passage. I'm going to read the white, and you read the yellow. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord.
Say,
what has spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What a prophet it is. And that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. For those who do wickedness are raised up. May they tempt God and go free. Wow. You know, let me ask you a question, because do we all understand we're all in the ministry of some type, that whether we do it privately or together? I'm not talking about working in a church, but we have people doing all kinds of things in the community, in our neighborhood, even at our own job site. And so the phrase I want to kind of tackle today is, you have said it is useless to serve God. And so, do you ever feel or get discouraged in serving God to the point that you feel like quitting because it seems useless? Okay, all of you shake your head yes. Okay, that's the answer to that question. Sure we do. It's a resounding yes. Of course we do. We feel that way whether it's ministry, whether it's the job, whether it's school, family, because life has problems. It has boredom. It has most of what we do, we gain such a small ground compared to what we would like to do, and it even seems futile. And it seems that there is very little payoff a lot of times when we're in the ministry or doing ministry or talking to other people. So I want to give you a great example of a couple hits I took this week that really, they were encouraging in some ways, okay? Yesterday, I officiated a funeral of a 39-year-old man I have known since his high school years. For 3.5 years, I spent every week discipling this guy, and by the time we got to the end, I mean, he started out and he had a lot of depression problems and even suicidal. By the end of the 3.5 years, he was doing pretty well. And we kept up with each other, but he began to go to church sporadically. It was really good for a while, but then it started to kind of fall apart. And I didn't realize, and I would meet with him and talk with him, but I didn't realize how closed off he was getting. because the longer the time went, the less we had to share, and I would share and that kind of thing. But I just didn't realize that he was emotionally in trouble, nor did anyone else, his own family and friends. And I was a dad to him, and he was a son to me in so many ways. And several years back, he started going south on his reasoning. He started to get paranoid. In fact, he would carry a gun in the back of his pants, and his wife would be saying, "Hey, you know, what are you doing? You know, you don't need to be doing this." And finally, he divorced her, and he would only pick up the kids once in a while. And finally, he moved to another state, and last week, he shot himself through the head and committed suicide. Okay, now, put yourself, if you knew him, that's, you probably have the same feelings, but man, it was killing me. I kind of had the statements in my mind walking through, did I waste my time? Or Malachi's words, it is useless to serve God. Because we assume that there is little or no impact, there's no results in what we do, because people don't gang up and come up and say, "You're so wonderful and we love everything," you know, that kind of thing. And so usually when you're doing ministry, you don't even see what the results is. And so as I listened to the family and friends talk as we got ready to prepare for this weekend, he witnessed constantly to people. I didn't even know that. I knew he had that kind of ability, but he was so introverted, I thought he probably just really, even though he liked evangelism, no. He would talk to anybody that was listening. He helped the poor. He helped the down and outers. He'd give them rides and give them money. In fact, one of his friends said he had a stack of ones. He kept a stack of ones in his Volkswagen. He had a Volkswagen bus, okay? And he would keep a stack of ones, and he would hand them out to people on the street and say, "Do you have time to talk?" And if they had the time to talk, then he would talk to them about Christ or lead them to Christ. And I looked at that, and it blew me away as I sat there and listened, because really, I was thinking, is it worth it? Was it even worth the time? And his best friend said, "You know, Steve, when he went to pick up parts down in Denver, I hated to go with him." And they said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Because it was an all-day trip." He said he just wouldn't go down and pick up the few things he needs and come back, but he would tool around Denver to try to find homeless and that kind of things to give out that money and talk to them and tell people about Christ. And he said, "We would never get the work done that we needed to get done." And he said, "You know, the other thing was," he says, "we would get together and at his shop while we were working and that kind of thing. And then we'd stop and have a few beers, and everybody would be kind of laughing and joking and that kind of thing. And then when we got done, we knew what was going to happen." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "He would start talking to us about God and where God is in our lives." And like I said, I didn't know that part of him. And it changed my, it is useless to serve God, right? I mean, man, did that take an about face. Into praising God and really realizing that God used me, he used other people in his life. When we had this little funeral, and you know, here's the interesting thing. He said to his mom, "If anything ever happens to me, have Steve do the funeral." And he said, "But only give the salvation message, because there's not going to be that many people that will show. So have him." So when they told me that, I said, "Well, that's going to be kind of weird, because we're going to have this service and I'm going to get up and give the salvation message and then dismiss. Does that seem right?" And so his mom said, "Well, no, that doesn't seem like that's going to work very well." So anyhow, we did it. Okay, 300 people came.
Wow.
Yeah. 30 of them trusted Christ. when I gave the invitation, around 30. It was so, I that's a guess. It could have been 35. It could have been a little bit less. But I just saw all these hands, and pretty soon I couldn't count them anymore because all these people raised their hand. And, you know, I thought during the time of mourning his death during the week, I just could feel that ugly question come up. Is it worth it? Creeping into my heart. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. And while struggling with that momentary question, before I found all this stuff out, a man came into the church, and he came over to the area where I have my office, and he looked kind of familiar to me, and so I got up and I came out, and he said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Boy, you look familiar." And I said, "Come on into my office." And so he came into my office, and he said, "I don't know if you remember me, but I was going through a crisis, a marital crisis and family crisis." I said, "Yeah, you live right behind the church here." And he said, "Yeah, that was me." And so I said, "Well, sit down." And so at the time that we were doing the counseling, he said, "Well, sit down." And I helped him think through what was going on and had him just talk about a lot of it because he didn't even have anybody to talk to. And I helped him to be able to see that it wasn't the end of the world. It felt like the end of the world, but it wasn't the end of the world. And I helped him kind of plan the steps that he needed. And when he got real calmed down, he thanked me and gave me a hug and left. Okay, year and a half later, he shows up this week. And I'm in this, it's easy to get into that mode, isn't it? It's so easy. I wish it wasn't that easy, but it is. And he said, "I just came in to thank you." And he said, "Well, thank me for what?" And he said, "Because you saved my life at that point." I think, if I'm not mistaken, he trusted Christ while he was there. And so he said, "I wanted to thank you." He said, "I'm doing well, and my daughter's doing well, and my wife and I divorced, and she went and lived with the guy she was having an affair with, and I thought the world was coming to an end, and you talked to me, and it changed my life from that point on." And I think, I would never have guessed that. I would have not even when I talked to him the first time, I would have never guessed that. And he says, "I don't know how to thank you." So he said, I have a $100 bill here. Will you give this to the church? Because that's the only way I know how to show my appreciation. I don't know how to thank him for helping me. Not me helping him, but him helping me get out of that. You know what he felt like? An angel. You know what I'm saying? I felt like an angel came into my life. And in my most discouraging moment, he shows up, encourages me, this guy that had all the problems and I didn't have those problems. And so through the week, my "it is useless to serve God" dissipated again. Hang on, Mike. Zach is gone, but it wasn't useless. A man collapsed in despair, but it wasn't useless. So I want to share with you about "it is useless to serve God," which we all feel at times because this world is not the place that really helps us be thrilled about being doing the ministry all the time, and that's why we need God in our lives. Amen. Let me use pastors as an example, since Malachi was talking to the pastors of his day. Because we usually think that because somehow, if you're a pastor, you are not built like other people. You're actually, your DNA is pastor, and you're nothing like anybody else, right? And so you don't have those problems like other people. Well, really? I've had people say, well, I don't understand why you have a problem because you're a pastor. Well, in fact, I had one lady, I was over at Costco, and she teaches here on Mondays, Tuesdays. She came in, she goes, oh, do you shop here? Like manna falls from heaven, I guess. But in my experience of meeting with pastors on a regular basis, many feel like quitting because they are built like the rest of us. We're just stupid enough to do it. You know, I read that this week, 1,500 pastors a month leave the ministry for good. 1,500 a month. And then there's the moral failures that we see on TV and we think, oh my gosh, what's the big deal? And then they don't understand. They end up in moral failure because they're just under so much pressure. They want relief and they take the wrong road. Several recent surveys revealed that 85% of pastors said that they were weary. They were weary of dealing with problem people. 70% said that they felt very called to the pastoral ministry, and 3 years later, only half of them still feel called. The Southern Baptist denomination, the statistics are that the average pastor going to a Southern Baptist church only lasts 18 months. What's wrong with that picture? And I'm sure it's the same in all the rest of the Protestant church. I don't think the Southern Baptists have more than anybody else. Because they get spiritually burnt out, discouraged, have opposition, contention, pressure with people that expect way too much. But I believe the reason is that most people leave is not those things so much. I think it's they don't feel like they're accomplishing anything of worth. I don't think they remember the future. What these pastors are saying to themselves is, it is useless to serve God because I'm worn out. And why are the pastors say that? Because they have their eyes off the future. Can you relate to that? Do you feel that yourself at times? I see that. When many people get into a ministry and pretty soon they're back out and they're bummed because not enough people came or they didn't want to listen or whatever it might be. Do you have your eyes off the future? I just wanted to use pastors as an example for all of us because by definition, so to speak, they're faithful, dependable, committed. You know, I mean, I always laugh because I can't come Sunday without a sermon. I don't care what happens during the week, right? I've had like 2 funerals in a row, plus a sermon, plus a counseling, plus people wanting me to do certain things. And I can't show up here without a sermon. Never have shown up here without a sermon. And so when I look at the pastors, I'm just saying I'm using them as an example because they're faithful, dependable, committed. And after 3 years, 50% of them want out. And I'm sure that's how the Levites felt. And so why are they saying that again? Because they have forgotten the future. And we're like those pastors. And the question is, what are we trying to accomplish? And God has something to say about that to us this morning. Romans 8:20. For the creation was subjected to futility. Now, what is this futility that Paul's talking about? I want to give a definition. a false hope or expectation. It's the expectation that everybody will grow through our efforts or whatever it may be, or if we do a job, we'll be very successful at it. How's that working? Or a lack of usefulness or effectiveness. The only words I could think of is I can't seem to get traction. An action that has no use. I can't seem to get the right things done. Purpose or effectiveness, I don't know what my purpose is. Solomon says this in the first part of Ecclesiastes. Vanity, and when it says vanity, it means futility. Okay? Futility of futilities, says the preacher. Futility of futilities, all is futile. Oh man, what a great message. Let's take that home and chew on it, huh? What profit has a man from his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes. And the next generation comes. And the next generation comes. And the new generation doesn't care what the old generation did. Nor do they even know 2 to 3 generations out. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, and the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us, and no, there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are come by those who will come after. You know, I want to prove this to you because this makes a lot of sense to me. Can any of you give me your great-great-grandfather's name? Just yell it out. Okay, so we got 3, maybe? Okay, and you've been in ancestry? No, okay, yeah. Or 3 generations away, great-great-grandmother. What was her name? What did they do for a living? You know, John, my son, and I, or he's been looking at our ancestry and that kind of thing. And so my grandfather was listed as a plumber, and he was. But I didn't know anything beyond him until, last week? I think last week John sends me this stuff, and it's like, oh, man, he had a brother? I didn't even know he had a brother. And he has a gravestone near his brother's house. You know he had a brother. And it's because we don't know about the past. We think we know a lot about the past because Kennedy got assassinated or whatever it may be, you know, those significant things. But when we get to even like Kennedy's generation, we don't even know what happened. They are forgotten, and everything they did is lost in the present world. We repeat and repeat and repeat. And we accomplish little because we are subjected to futility. That's not a choice. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, right? Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. What's the hope? The future. When Christ comes to get us. Because the creation itself was also will be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty, the glorious freedom of the children of God. Ah, there's the future. And we can see that future in our head. We will be delivered by God. But when we focus our sight on today, we see nothing. We see lack of purpose. We see a lack of efficiency. Really? You know? I mean, from my secular side, all my years, I did what was kind of what we would call efficiency expert. It was kind of a laugh to me because I don't care how much efficiency you do, you barely put a dent in it. And, you know, I look at that and I think, I would listen to bosses say, what have you done today? Man, you have got nothing done. Forgets that a machine had to be repaired, right? And he overlooks that because we should be gaining ground. And you plan and you plan and you get excited, but little comes of it. Because Solomon says this, what is crooked cannot be made straight. And what is lacking cannot be numbered. Now, I always think it's funny in church because people will come and say, we sure have bad communication, right? That's pretty much every company that exists, right? We have bad communication. Say, okay, let's fix it. So we fix it and then something else springs up. Oh, we didn't call them. We didn't even think about it. And I don't care whether you're in work or you're at home or you're at church. And what is lacking cannot be numbered. And somehow we still get by and get some traction, but not much, because we're all chained to futility until that day, with only the hope of the future. Zach was a loss, I thought, but he wasn't in God's eyes. And he loved God and he served God, but couldn't see beyond his futility. So where does that question fit for you? Are you looking at the future and keeping your eyes on the future as you work? Or are you looking on the present and judging everything and it's all coming down around your shoulders because futility wins every time? Have you said it is useless to serve God? It's not useless to serve God because there is a future. There is a reward. We will live in peace and we will enjoy his righteousness. And the Holy Spirit will work in people to change their hearts when you're serving him. All of his righteousness will be wrapped around us. And we, my friends, will be free. Doesn't that sound good? We will be free. Free from this mess that we live in. And we will see then what God really did through us, the Holy Spirit did through us, because he uses us. Do you understand that? He uses us, and you're cutting that off if you don't let him use that. But we need to keep our eyes on the future. Let me close with this verse. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption, or the futility, into the glorious liberty or freedom of the children of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you're going to free us, that you're going to take us out of this corruption, and we're going to have a world that is with you, that's perfect, that's free. And Lord, we don't know what you have planned for eternity because you don't talk much about it. But you do say the gifts and calling of God are without, I can't even remember the word, Lord. That in other words, we will always have our gifts and we will always have our calling, and you have planned for what we're going to do, and we can't wait for that day. Because we can do it without futility. Oh my gosh. That'd be wonderful. So Lord, we just want to offer up praise this morning. I want to offer up and Lord, help people to not get bummed because of futility that we're in, but that we depend on you, we depend on your Holy Spirit, and then we do what you tell us to do and let you draw the results from that. While heads are bowed, you may have come this morning and you may not have a relationship with God. Let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can have that relationship. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to pray a little prayer just like I did yesterday, where 30 people responded to that prayer. And I'm going to pray a little prayer. And if this is a day that you want to make that decision in your life to bring Jesus Christ into your life, spend eternity with him, then you just whisper along with me while I pray. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and life. And be the Lord, the boss of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. I surrender my life to you. While heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer, we'd love to talk to you. We have a Bible for you if you need one. But I'm going to ask something of you so that you can demonstrate before God and we can start praying for you. And that is, if you made that decision this morning, will you stick your hand up and put it back down? Let God know you meant business this morning, that you really made that opportunity happen. Anybody this morning? Man, I pray that all of us here know Christ. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your love for us, that your Son went to the cross, bore our sin, and redeemed us. And now, Lord, we're sanctified and we're justified. And one day, when you come, we'll be with you for eternity. We can't wait for that day. So may you be blessed, and may your Son, Jesus Christ, our King, be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.